Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
This half the show brought to you by Quip. Go to quip.com/Adam and Brickhouse Nutrition. I'll tell you about that. BrickhouseAdam.com, and of course, Castrol, titanium strong for maximum energy performance. What do we got, Gina Graham?
Well, there's a DUI in the sky issue. A Japanese pilot who was arrested at London's Heathrow Airport as he prepared to fly an aircraft while more than 9 times over the aviation alcohol limit.
How many times?
Nine times.
I like that they have an alcohol aviation limit.
Yeah.
Really should be very low.
It's like, come on. My guy was buzz, but he wasn't drunk.
Yeah.
Like,
buzz flying is drunk flying. on the tarmac.
What is the aviation?
Do you have it, the BAC for that, Chris? Because it wasn't in the article.
Zero.
Yeah, I mean, how could it? Unless you have a nice pre-flight cocktail.
Has to be zero.
one pre-flight cocktail will get you up to like 0.05 or 0.04 or whatever. You know,
that's
you can drink
a lot
like
automated.
1 hour. Look.
I'm looking at the mid-flight cocktail.
Here's the deal. The deal is pilots by nature are thrill seekers and are alcoholics, at least in the past. These guys are guys, you know, veterans of the Korean War. They flew four Phantoms over Mig Alley and stuff like that. These guys are alcoholics. Any movie that depicts pilots, they're always off drinking at the pub whatever. Yes, they are. So there's probably been many a guy who at least tilted a few well into the evening the night before. Yes.
So it is 0.04.
What?
So half of what you get for driving. And that's including pilots, flight attendants, and mechanics.
Flight attendants.
That is shocking.
So he was jailed for 10 months on Thursday.
What was he flying? Something commercial?
Yes. So Reuters reports that the first officer, Katsutoshi Jitsukawa, failed a breath test less than an hour after he was due to have taken off in the cockpit of a Japan Airlines flight to Tokyo in October. The director of London's aviation policing said in a statement, quote, "This conviction reflects he displayed not only total disregard for the safety of all the passengers and staff on his flight, but also the wider public." Over it. So 9 times. 0.04 times 9.
This, all right. Wow. It's a couple things. 0.38?
0.36.
0.36. Here's the point. All right. High. All right. Drunk. That's super drunk.
That's wasted.
Do they randomly have to blow breathalyzers?
That's what I was going to say.
They
What's
must
the process
do a
being
random
screen.
They
must be like Olympic. What's it called? USADA?
Yeah.
Where they just randomly get urine samples and stuff like that?
Yeah, they were talking about that on the radio. They actually didn't get an answer. I was listening to KFI when they were talking about it. But they said, who gets breathalyzer checked before a flight? I mean, this guy had to be blacked out.
I was going
to
say, given this how drunk he obvious. Was, he was probably giving signs of being very drunk.
Uh-huh.
I think someone dropped a dime on him.
Yeah, Toshi, we need you to remove the lampshade so we can go ahead and have you blow into the device.
All right. Yep. All right. So
old school Japanese pilot would have killed himself, right?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Shame ribbons.
I say this. Look, maybe this is culturally a little inappropriate, but anyone knows the ritual of the kamikaze?
Mm.
Shot of rice wine before they got into the Zero loaded with the TNT and tried to fly it into the American battleships and cruisers. So they have a rich tradition of doing a shot before they get in the cockpit.
I was gonna say, it's honorary.
I would argue, like American Indian with peyote.
The rite of passage.
It's a cultural thing. Yeah. I'm grandfathered in.
Especially amongst pilots.
Matter of fact, my grandfather's not here because he's at the bottom of the Pacific Ocean right now. But
Arizona.
Do a shot of wine. Also, I feel like if I was going kamikaze, I'd be like, He's got the little... Also, I don't know. Can we get these people shot glasses? Does everything have to be ceramic? You know, they have this little white ceramic cup, and then they do the shot out of it. But if I'm going full kamikaze, I'm asking the dudes around me, you going to finish that shot? Yeah. Are you not in that shot? Are you allergic to alcohol? Or, hey, can I get another hit here? Like, I'm a multiple shot kamikaze guy.
Yeah.
And I defy anybody to walk up to me and go, look, we know you're killing yourself in about 40 minutes, but really, it's really inappropriate.
We got to cut you off.
With the second shot of the sake. And there's some young pilots that are watching that are not, they're pretty easily influenced, and they don't like the way. Yeah. Also, in terms of an Air Force, when your plan becomes flying the planes into things, at that point, it's time to cash in the chips and head back into the room. That's, you know what I mean?
Like,
maybe we'll just chalk this one up. Maybe we'll just go ahead and give up the ghost.
Yeah.
We probably lost this one.
The dogfighting was too much.
Right.
Very good point. Mm-hmm. Well, from one drug to another, Oregon's Secretary of State has just approved language for a potential ballot initiative.
What percentage of kamikazes chickened out? What percentage? Percentage went, I'm going to ditch. Like, I'm just gonna bring it in and just kind of flare it up at the end and put it down in the ocean and pop out of the cockpit and kind of. I like the idea where I raise my hand and I get all the attention and I do the shot of free sake and everything. But as I'm flying toward the Nimitz or whatever I'm flying toward, starting to really think about it. I'm 23. I got a newborn. Know what I mean?
In my admittedly limited understanding of kamikaze pilots, from what I know, didn't you only fly your plane into a ship or a target if you were shot? Like, if you were going to crash anyway, rather than crash land, you'd go into, like, you know, don't be captured. Because I remember, like, Japanese pilots who'd successfully bombed Pearl Harbor. Yeah, so I'm trying to specify. They turned around and flew back if they were able to.
Well, yeah, it's not like the Twin Towers.
Yeah, no, not all Japanese pilots are kamikaze pilots. It was the kamikazes were the ones who volunteered to fly into ships.
Oh, okay. I thought kamikaze indicated you were shot and you're already going down, and thus you must.
No. First off, if you're shot up enough to go down, you're not going to be able to control your plane very well. No, hence the whole ritual. Like, they stood in front of their planes. They all otherwise be weird if they were doing the shots of booze.
Just in case.
Should have jumped in earlier. It's at the end of the war.
Yeah.
Okay.
They didn't do it in the middle of the war.
It makes sense.
They did it at the end of the war. The war was lost. They had one shot, which was flying the planes into the battleships or into the cruisers, and they would volunteer. I'm sure it was an all volunteer thing, they would volunteer and they would line it all up and they would do their shot of sake and they would mount up and they would go fly out into fly into these ships. Now, the question is I've never heard of, but you wouldn't have beacons or radar. I mean, you wouldn't really know. It's not really knowable. But did some of those guys just ditch?
Ease up.
I would imagine culturally, especially at that time, it would be very few.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this is, you know, culturally a commitment
very few.
To the greater as opposed to the self.
Mm-hmm.
What you reading?
The first time, Commander asked 23 talented pilots to volunteer. All of them raised both hands.
Both hands.
Wow. Don't shoot.
I love dying over there. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it has a much higher rate of damage, about 14 to 19%. More damage than just using missiles and things like that.
Wow.
They're more accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier to fly your plane into the side of a ship than it is to drop a bomb. The crazy footage is when that kamikaze was coming in to the ship, guys would just be standing on the deck of the ship with rifles and pistols and everything, just throwing everything they could at that kamikaze before it got to them, because they had cannons and guns and things of that nature, but they never really planned on this part where the person would get low and come at them sort of horizontally. Now, some dive down or whatever, but they would just have to go throw everything they possibly could. And whoever was standing on the deck with the gun, the guy was literally coming for them. The bomb wasn't coming for them. The plane was coming from them. And sometimes at the last second, their wing would like blow off and they just spiral off and hit the drink. It's crazy.
It's insane.
It is pretty insane considering it was modern enough times to create a aircraft.
Air Force.
An Air Force, a plane that was made of metal that could fly at 400 miles an hour, and we were still doing a full suicide. All right, let me tell you, in case someone wants to go full kamikaze on your house this year.
Oh, God.
Simply Safe, everybody. Thinking about getting Simply Safe? Well, let's get it going now. SimplySafe.com/M. They have amazing holiday offer. Great deals, and it's just for us and my listeners. So go to Simply Safe. There's two I's in there. S-I-M-P-L-I, Simply Safe. Great protection for your home and family. No contracts, no hidden fees. Great reviews on CNET and PC Mag and Wirecutter as well. I have it at my house. Dawson has it at his house. We all have it. And if you move like Dawson moved, you simply peel it up. Maybe get a little dental floss. Pop that bad boy off the window or the door jamb. Take the sensor with you in the home base as well. Go to simplysafe.com/Adam. You get a great offer. Make sure you use that URL. That's helps the show. That's simplysafe.com/Adam. Get it as a gift this year. All right. What else we got, Gina Graham?
Well, if you want to trip your balls off, you might want to go to Oregon. They are collecting signatures right now to put an initiative on the ballot to legalize psychedelic mushrooms. They need about 117,000 signatures. Oregonians could vote on the decriminalization of these mushrooms in the 2020 general election. In recent years, some studies have shown that these mushrooms can have positive effects, especially on those undergoing cancer treatments and chemical depression. In the United States, possession of the psilocybins, the magic mushrooms, is a felony, and they're a class schedule one substance. So it's, I mean, it's, they're really looking to decriminalize this and have a little fun up in Oregon.
I can't.
Anybody a fan?
No, I've had mushrooms a
few
times.
I have friends who are like really into it. Like when you get, when they get into it, they get really into it.
Got to put peanut butter on it.
Oh, yeah.
Tastes like horseshit.
Every opportunity I get.
Yeah. I now that I have like kids and a mortgage and everything, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. There's too much going on.
Too much riding on it.
I've got to be thinking about my kids. No, not riding on it. More like when I did mushrooms, I had nothing. I was, you know, lived in an apartment with three guys. I rode a motorcycle. Like I didn't have a bank account. Like I didn't have anything. So there wasn't an element of like, wow, I'm going to go deep down this rabbit hole and then I'm going to think.
Mm.
I'm going to think about
that
this stuff. There was nothing to think about. Now there's too much like, oh, what are those kids going to do when they're 30? Or what's the world going to be when it's 30? Or
yeah.
Is Korea going to nuke us before they're 30? Or like any, there's too much. It's made for the young mind with not a lot on their mind.
That's a good point. I haven't done it. I don't think I've done it since college. And I think this is sort of a foreshadowing of the kind of person I am, because I think that it, you know, it intensifies parts of your personality. And I just remember laughing so hard that I started crying, and I couldn't tell the difference anymore between laughing and crying. It was so intense.
I remember having...
You got a live show tonight.
I remember having thoughts, and the thoughts... So what I've always said about mushrooms or any of these types of drugs... We live in a society, and our society is just filled with things that we just go along with. You know, every time, I don't do it anymore, by the way, I just did it earlier today, but you come to an intersection, the light turns red, you sit there, you look around, there's no cars coming either direction, your direction, any direction, but you just sit there. Mm. You just sit there because you're trained.
Yeah, you follow the norms.
You're just sort of trained, but you think about it, like, well, why do we have an intersection? Well, so people don't get in accidents, or people go this way, well, we put a signal there, so people don't hit each other. Okay, well, I'm sitting here. And then what's the difference between it being green or red? Like there's no cars coming in any direction, but you sit there and you wait it out. I by the way, do not anymore on any signals. You'll never get a ticket unless a fucking cop's behind you. But anyway, there's a bunch of societal norm things. Like you drive through L.A., you pass all these homeless encampments and you're like, oh, that's sad. Or there you go. Or those guys should get it together. But you just keep driving and kind of turn up the radio. Like you don't really... The whole Kardashian family is sort of mind-numbing, right? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, the youngest one is a billionaire on her 19th birthday. And you're like, oh, good for her.
It's
but you don't think about
to
it.
Consider things.
You know, you can't consider things. I remember being super high on mushrooms when I was like 19. And I was watching, I saw, it wasn't a TV show. It was the commercials. I saw two commercials. One was a monster truck rally. And it was like, it showed the monster truck like jumping and smashing cars. Mm-hmm. And then it cut to the audience. They're like, woo! And I'm like, we live in a society where big trucks smash smaller cars and we love it.
Yep.
Like, why do we love watching cars being smashed by bigger trucks all the time? It's like, it's so weird that our society was set up in such a way where that guy's got a big truck, that guy's got a little truck, and the big truck's going to smash him.
Yeah!
We're going to see that. And I got my 9-year-old with me. He's on my shoulders. He's hooting and hollering. Then the next commercial. Lee Press-On Nails.
Oh, God, those were awesome.
And it was a great commercial because it was the husband going, are you ready to go, honey? And she's like, I broke a nail. Why tonight? Like, I used to be like when women would fret a lot about how they looked and about if he had a second cup of coffee and about whether the husband was satisfied in any way, shape, or form at all with the relationship. There used to be these crazy, quaint commercials where the wife actually sort of worried about the husband and keeping him happy and fed and all that stuff. They don't exist anymore.
Bygone era.
Bygone era. Why would you want your husband to be happy or well-fed or any of these things? Looked after. But they would do – and she, like, put the – press, but she had the Lee Press-On nails. And then, of course, the husband was like, oh, you're ready to go already? And she's like, I'm ready to go. And he's like, you grew new nails? And she's like, almost. And she like looks at the camera and like smiles. That'll be our little secret. We know, girlfriend. And I thought, we live in a society where women put these blood red claws. They stick red. It wasn't an era when it was like purple and unicorns and shit. It was just red, like blood red claws. Yep. Why is that attractive to the male? You know what I mean? Especially if she's going to be handling my junk. Why these big, long, sharp, bloody claws? Why are we wired to like these long stick-on claws onto the end of their fingernails?
Don't do mushrooms.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you have violent ideations when you're tripping.
Well, I'm just saying what it does is it pulls you out of – normally you're just sitting there going, yeah, we got a truck, monster truck, Lee Press-On commercial, nails. People like nails. But you never really – you're a visitor from another planet who gets to look at our rituals and kind of wonder, like, what is the long bloody claw on the thing?
What would be the worst thing to watch on mushrooms? Professional wrestling? Presidential debate?
I don't know. Like, I
Really like consider like what's at stake and what's going on. Like, oh, this is horrible.
Have you ever watched professional wrestling? Hi, Brian.
No, never.
I don't recommend it.
I stopped watching it when I was 13.
Oh, okay. I went a little longer.
To me, it'd be a deeper dive, like a Teen Mommy kind of honey. It'd be like a Honey Boo Boo kind of thing where she's like eating Miracle Whip with her hands out of a container. Yeah. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on? What are you doing? Your kid's morbidly obese. It's like professional wrestling, I could see myself getting into the fantasy part of it. But
not squirting the bizarre ketchup humans, all over spaghetti.
Yeah.
The referee's right there. What are you doing?
You have the power to end this.
Find the Lee Press-On nail commercial.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of them.
There's a lot. Oh, they've been around. They were around for a while. This would have been like early 80s.
It was around the time of the Ogilvy home perm.
Yes.
First Jake called, so I went straight hair. Then Greg called, so I went curly.
I love it. Honey, you grew a new nail. Almost. Stuff. All right. Let me tell you about... probably, well, they had the one that just ran for a million years, but Brian, you helped me on this one. Women's nails, had never had a thought about them.
Nope.
No, don't care.
Thank Christ.
I look at it like when a chick has a double ear piercing, like one down low and then one up on the loops. Like, why? What are we here for?
Chris, go to
what's this for?
While I'm telling this, go to Christy's Instagram.
She goes crazy with
Christy
that.
Christy is the nail art. Like, she goes to like a little like nail artist and she'll probably get something Christmas in the next few weeks.
I respect that and I like it. I wish I was wired that way, but I'm a nail biter and I don't care about my nails. And I have too many. I have guitars to play and buttons to button, and
gels,
I just don't.
And they prevent her from biting her nails.
Well, my thing is, I'm a pillow biter, but I still don't like it. Now, I also ride in the back of motorcycles with my arms out in the air. I'm a glider. Sorry.
Those are very pretty.
Pumpkins.
Well, look, I feel the same way about Chrissy's nails.
I never thought about it before I met Chrissy.
I feel the same way about her nails as I feel about your socks, which is I make fun of you, but I am secretly jealous that Brian likes themed socks.
Did you get me these egg socks?
Yes, I did.
I'm wearing Gina's egg socks today. Breakfast socks.
Secretly jealous.
You're easy secretly, to shop for.
Oh, maybe not so secretly jealous. I feel the same way about the nails. Look, especially if the woman's gainfully employed, she wants to spend $34 on her nails. That's her, that's her business.
Per nail.
That's her beeswax. All right.
Only on the day you brought up my socks am I wearing the ones that Gina bought me that have eggs and bacon on them.
I've got you a few pairs at this point.
That's good.
All right. I'll let Max Pata search for the Lee press-on nails. The internet is a weird thing because this commercial aired 7,000 times in my childhood. And you can go back and look at Go See Cal commercials, Cal wearing whatever, go look at whatever. And then there's stuff that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And this is national.
I'm not sure why that is, but... And this was national. So what Lee? Do we have any Lee's commercial press on nail?
Yeah, most of them are just like teenage girls
from the '90s or something.
No, between 82 to 88.
I'll accept one, but I do miss the wife. Oh, she's dead. By the way, she's going out to dinner with her husband. She breaks a nail. She's devastated. Why tonight?
Of all nights.
I'll tell you about Quip. Ah, you might think this is the perfect gift. And I'll tell you why. Like, here's the deal. You get someone a sweater or beanie or cardigan or something, fine. How about you don't think practically, but let's think practically. The electric toothbrush, Quip, designed to make brushing better. I use mine today. Sensitive sonic vibrations. Gentle for sensitive gums. Built-in two-minute timer. Pulses every 30 seconds. So you use a thing for 2 minutes. That's how long you brush your teeth for. And then every 30, it pulses, reminding you to switch. Go from the top to the bottom or the inside to the outside. Brush heads automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. One of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. Thousands of verified 5-star reviews. Starts at just $25. Look, you're taking care of yourself. Let's take care of your teeth. GetQuip.com/Adam right now. Get your first refill pack for free at Quip Electric Toothbrush. That's GetQuip.com/Adam. All right, what else we got, Gina Grant?
All right, well, we just talked about this, and somebody is making a move. A Cleveland-based radio station that exclusively plays Christmas music during the holidays announced this week that Baby It's Cold Outside would be removed from the rotation after listeners called to say it was inappropriate amid the Me Too movement.
I did predict this, but I wasn't like, why is the song still on the air? I was shocked that it hadn't been
removed.
Someone hadn't brought this up.
Well, this is interesting because I've had this debate when I used to work, you know, at different stations. We used to talk about this all the time. And someone brought this point up, and I always kind of forget, and it's in here, and I like it. So a lot of people obviously say it displays key signs of rape culture and has no business on the radio anymore. However, others have countered to say it ought to be considered from a historical standpoint. After all, it was written in the 40s, a time when it would have been a scandal for an unmarried woman to spend the night at a man's house. So a gender studies professor at USC actually says the song itself is an effort to furnish female sexuality with a set of excuses, as opposed to a coercive song, because of an unmarried woman staying over at a man's house would have been scandalous in those days. So it's a weird... It's a weird courting ritual as opposed to super rapey, right, in this person's opinion.
But looking at it through like today's prism, well, people can misunderstand.
Exactly. The radio station told a local TV station that a poll on the website showed a clear majority of listeners voted to remove the song. Ultimately, they argued the lyrics take on a new meaning
in
2018.
What a bunch of fucking lifeless fucksticks who would vote on that fucking thing. You guys should all fucking go full kamikaze, but just in oncoming traffic. Number one.
No soccer.
Number two, who gives a fuck? And number three, who gives a shit? Now, if you want to remove it and then you want to shut your fucking face, then go ahead and do it. But if you want to remove it and then announce to the world, hey, guess what we did, world, then you can go fucking kill yourself. It's the same thing. It's like about 5 years ago, there were a handful of like douchebag sports guys who said, I won't refer to the Washington Redskins as the Washington Redskins. I'll just refer to them as that team or the indigenous people or whatever. And then a poll came out amongst
Native Americans,
American Indians or Native Americans, and they said, we don't care. And then everyone didn't care again.
Right.
Look, what percentage of people is this inspiring to rape? If you fucking have a normal family.
Michael Bublé.
I really have to imagine it's a small percentage.
It's just insane. Go out and fucking do something, assholes. This ain't it. Please, stop it. And stop looking around for... Stop looking in your fucking rearview mirror for shit to fix that's already been around for X amount of years. And here's the deal. If this was a dog whistle to rape, then it's been around for 71 years. Mm-hmm. All...
The damage is done.
Damage is done, everybody. Yes.
To that point, we've transcended... We've taken outrage so far that now we are to the point where things that make us think of things we don't like, we're getting upset at. Like, this song makes us think of... It's not about, obviously, rape or whatever, but it makes us think of rape, and that's upsetting to us. I saw a story. Someone tweeted us, Gina. I don't know if you saw it or not, but there was someone in Ohio, I'm 99% sure, who... petitioned and successfully petitioned to have a license plate that have the letters, you know, 7 ABC blah blah whatever. That when the letters JAP ended up on the license plate, they got offended and said, "You must remove all of these from your randomized." Now, do you think the random license plate maker in machine in Ohio was didn't like Japanese people and was
or Jewish Jap American princesses,
or did it make you think of something that you don't like and thus you got upset? We're in a ridiculous state now.
It's insane, and
it's reminding them of things they don't like.
The fucking, I don't know why, I'm going to sound like somebody who would never be involved with this. The dudes who are involved with this, it's insane to me. It's insane when there's like 50-year-old dudes who get involved
just
with this kind of shit.
I think
pray you're trying to get a blowjob from a fucking dumb chick. I pray.
The license plate guy, the whistleblower, and that was an older Japanese man, I believe.
The Kansas City recalling hundreds of license plates. Good.
Was it Kansas City? Yeah. Oh, it was Kansas. That's right.
That'll cure the Japanese American internment camps from the late 30s.
Randomized assignment of letters by a machine.
I have no idea who's interested in any of this shit, unless you're like me. We just want to make fun of these pussies. We have the Lee Press-On Nail commercial from 1985. Oh, I pray it's the one where she goes, "Not tonight."
You be ready in half an hour?
Almost ready. Tonight I'm not rushing. Oh, no.
What's wrong?
I broke a nail. Why tonight?
It's
Lee
chipped.
Nails, a nail mender and lengthener that really works. Brush on Lee Nails. Mend a chipped or torn nail or lengthen all 10. Create longer, stronger, natural-looking nails.
Too bad about your nail.
Not too bad.
You grew a new one.
Almost.
Lee Nails.
Jesus.
He's real dumb.
I love this set. It's like a porn set. I love that he's got the porn mustache.
She's red satin.
I love
90.
That he comes in and it's like, the part that is true is the 30 minutes notice. All guys I know have to give the 30 minutes notice to the old lady. You work morning radio, Gina. You don't need it.
Time.
All the other dudes I know have to do the, "All right, we're leaving in 30 minutes.
Thank you, 30.
You'll be ready, right? Yeah. We're not going to be late again, right? Okay.
Party's at 7.
By the way, everybody, if someone says to you a few things, like you really need to write this down, or if you're going somewhere in the evening and they pop into the room multiple times with a countdown clock, like, "We're going in 30 minutes, right?"
That's a lot about you.
And then they come back 18 minutes or 14 minutes later and they're like, "Okay, so it's almost time." If that person keeps doing it, it's because you got them to do it by being constantly late.
Car's coming.
Yes. I know everyone's reaction is to be angry at the person who has to get up and go into the room constantly, but you've trained them to do that.
They've
somehow been burned too many times by you. All right. Sorry. Where were we?
Well, CNN reports that DJ Khaled and boxer Floyd Mayweather Jr. were charged by the Securities and Exchange Commission Thursday with promoting investments in initial cryptocurrency coin offerings without revealing they were paid to do it. So both Khaled and Mayweather settled with the SEC and agreed not to promote any securities, even digital ones, for 2 and 3 years, respectively.
I would love to hear DJ Khaled's explanation of this. I'd like to pitch. I'd like to hear him explain what happened.
Because how does Bitcoin work, DJ Khaled?
I'd like that part, and I'd like the part where he tells his wife about security commission coming after him. Right. I want that part.
That'd be good.
That
explain
part, too.
But he
ends it with, "Just because I quit doesn't mean I gave up."
Yes.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Him and the Hot Ones Wings thing is the greatest sack of blowhardiness since Oprah told you to be the best you could possibly ever be.
Yeah.
That is just the greatest. Like,
I want my fans to know.
Not quitting. Yeah, you are.
What do you call it?
Exactly what you're doing.
Time.
Throwing in the towel. So,
good.
Yeah, Mayweather failed to disclose he'd received $300,000, and Khalid.
Hold on, do either one of those guys like money?
I think they're minimalists.
Google those. The minimalists. Mm-hmm.
Khalid was paid about $50,000. Both of them promoted the cryptocurrency group Centra's ICO on their social media accounts. Khalid called a game changer, while Mayweather encouraged his followers to get in on the ICO, saying he'd taken part. He said, "You can call me Floyd Crypto Mayweather from now on." The SEC, which has made it clear that ICOs can be fraudulent, encourages would-be investors to be wary or avoid those ICOs that are endorsed by celebrities.
Floyd is doing something like when you get to the end, when a boxing career gets to the end, it gets sad. You get Muhammad Ali in there with a top of his game, Larry Holmes. Larry Holmes is just sticking that jab out there like a piston. And then at a certain point, Larry Holmes is like gesturing to the referee like, "Hey, could you stop? Could you end me the savage beating I'm doing of this legendary icon of a boxer?" My fiduciary duty, and Larry probably didn't use the word fiduciary, but from a fiduciary standpoint, I must keep beating the shit out of this guy, but I'd like you to get involved and put an end to this because he can go out on a shield and not on a stretcher. And that's how boxing ends. Things like, Joe Lewis, the greatest, first African-American heavyweight, or not the first, but Jack Johnson, but the first, the biggest one. He like owed the government tax money and he'd have to go out and take these fucking bouts just to get paid, get his head smashed in a little more and then pay the tax man and blah, blah, blah. I don't know government, what the average amount in 1939 to 1947, the average black male was paying in taxes, but I think Joe Lewis probably did at least 20% more. But anyway, and was enlisted in the service and still owed the tax. I don't know. Like, this is why I wouldn't work well at the franchise tax bureau because I'd be like, that guy's in the service. That guy's paid $1 million. Hey, that guy's been
he's up.
We're in the middle of Jim Crow. Give him a break.
Right.
He's good. But anyway,
yeah, that'd be nice.
You get your head bashed in.
The unpopular agent.
Yeah, but what Floyd gets to do is have $1 billion novelty fights against Conor McGregor and like other Japanese MMA superstars and shit like that. Mm-hmm. Whereas he's probably not. He's definitely not in his boxing prime, but he gets to fight huge names from other worlds,
right?
And then beat them and make nine figures. Mm. What and because he's in like good shape and youngish, he has three more of these paydays before he hangs up his gloves without ever getting his brains bashed in by the 24-year-old version of him.
Shrewd.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, very.
All the other boxers throughout history have to fight Muhammad Ali at 37, has to fight the 23-year-old version of him, and he gets his brains bashed in. No more. No mas.
No mas.
No mas. Thank you. Let me tell you about Brick House Nutrition. Oh, Dawn to Dusk. Pop one of these bad boys myself. Hard to maintain the workday energy. Do not drag around all day. And don't rely on those sugary energy drinks either. Coffee with the hazelnut creamer. Boost productivity in a healthy way. Top physicians from Brick House Nutrition created the most advanced formula to stimulate your heart, your brain, and cells. I spoke to these guys. They are doctors. This is not a gimmick. It's called Dawn to Dusk. It's just clean energy. It's focused. And you don't have that spike. It's a slow release, and it lasts up to 10 hours. And you just keep the mood and the energy going all day long. No calories or sugar, no jitters, no afternoon crash. Visit BrickHouseAdam.com. Use the promo code Adam. Get 15% off your first order. I have the Dawn to Dusk, actually in my car. It's just in my cup holder, and I'll pop one this morning. It just keeps that energy going good. Yes. Sorry, Brian.
No, for afterwards. Sorry about
that. Oh, for afterwards. All right. BrickHouseAdam.com. Promo code Adam at checkout.
Do you remember Ali versus Antonio Inoki?
No.
Ali fought a martial artist.
Oh, right. I remember
that. And it was kind of a fiasco. Like, it was hyped. And it was before, obviously, McGregor. And this kind of mixed thing where Inoki kind of...
Wait, he used his own rule. They each used their own rules?
Look at this, but Inoki did the entire time. He lied on the ground and, like, kicked him. Like, it was very underwhelming.
That's bizarre.
It was extremely bizarre. Like, watch this.
They're both using their own tactics.
This is the whole... Like, this is the fight. This is a huge disaster.
It was crazy. And by the way, Ali's like heavyweight champ. He's getting kicked in the leg all night long.
Oh my God, he's dragging him by the foot.
He's on his back, like flinging his legs. Like he's doing the best strategy he'd come up with.
Not much of a
fight. Weird. You know, it's a weird job.
The crowd is so bored.
It's so weird.
In the past, we had like three jobs where you needed a bow tie, but you didn't need one for any of the three. Boxing referee, probably one of the least necessary bow tie jobs in the world. Server of ice cream.
Yep.
Yeah.
Once again.
Soda jerk.
Do not need a bow tie for that. And working at a gas station was all the three bow tie jobs. Weird bow tie jobs, right? Because
I don't think that's what the bow tie was invented for.
I feel like, first off, the ref could be in a wife beater and be just as effective.
Yeah.
The bow tie. They'd wear a bow tie. And the soda jerk bow tie job. All right, let's do one more.
All right. Well, a parrot's amazing impersonation of a smoke alarm led to firefighters being called out to a home. A crew arrived at the property in England after the alarm was heard three times.
How many times?
Three times.
Three times, fool.
They cleaned out a smoke detector at the home but heard the noise again and discovered the alarm was coming from one of two gray pet parrots mimicking the sound. Owner 63-year-old Steve Doherty pulled an emergency alarm cord to alert his caretaker.
I don't like anyone who owns birds.
I'm with you on that. When he heard that, he thought it was a smoke alarm, but it was the bird. Here's what the bird sounded like. Here's just a quick news clip.
It's a weird pet. It's a pet that you keep in the cage.
And you can't really touch.
24/7. It's like, why? Hey, I have a pet. Well, how's it work? I put a cage inside my living room, and I put the pet in the cage, and then the pet lives in the cage, and then I walk past the cage.
I rarely touch the thing.
Ever since I was a kid, pet birds make me very sad. Oh, how does it keep from flying around the room? Oh, you clip their wings off. Like,
yeah,
what?
It's all weird. All right, sorry.
That's the bird.
He likes to imitate things, and he imitated the smoke alarm so well that they called the fire brigade.
Wow.
That's how fucking bored they are, by the way.
Absolutely.
Phil doesn't imitate shit because he's too busy dry humping pillows and laying on top of me and sniffing other dogs and eating socks and molesting Sonny. If you locked him in a cage 24/7, after about 3 weeks, he'd be going fucking stir crazy impersonating shit, too.
It's a cry for help.
Absolutely.
Well, what do? You're locked in a fucking 2x2 cage all day. You're bored off your ass. If you're out flying around or out in the house or doing your thing, you're not imitating
beautiful song,
shit.
Right. Beautiful songbird.
There was also a story a few years ago. I may have been BBC, but this is kind of sad, too, if you're even remotely an environmentalist. You know, these beautiful birds in the Amazon, they imitate each other. They imitate different animals on the ground. But now they're imitating the noises of trees being chopped down, because that's what they hear loudest and most of all. And they can imitate it very well.
If I was an Indian, I would cry.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Castrol Edge. Heat, friction, viscosity, breakdown. Man, they can rob your engine. And loss of performance up to 10%. Castrol Edge, engineered with fluid titanium technology, physically transforms to get stronger under pressure, helps fight friction, deliver maximum levels of performance for your car. Three times, fool. Stronger against viscosity breakdown than leading oils. It is the best. It is Castrol Edge. All right, let's see. Burbank Flappers coming up. December 18th, me and Adam Ray be up there doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared. Adam Carolla Goes Racing, and check out season 2 at motortrend.com/Adam. And check out Lynette over at Carolla Drinks. Say hi. And until next time, I want to thank Dennis Miller and Robbie Knievel for coming in here, or at least talking to us. Next time's Adam Carolla. For Gina Grad and Bald Brian saying mahalo.
I need you, Adam Carolla.
Stick around for today's episode of Good Sports, coming right up with Adam Carolla and Dave Damashek. Adam and Drew, back together again.
Hey, man.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. Why should people listen to us every single day, Drew?
Because they complain that we're not around anymore, and where are you once you guys come back? And lo and behold, we've been back the whole time. They need to listen to us every day.
And I think the world needs a nice dose of us.
Yes, it's that time.
Every day.
Yep, every
day. Podcast One and
Apple. It's healthy. It'll improve your soul.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew Pinsky, getting it on 5 days a week. The Adam and Drew Show, weekdays on Carolla Digital and Podcast One.
Good sports.
It's time for a sports segment.
Good sports.
It's time for Ace and Dave.
Good sports.
It's time to get it started.
NFL highlights, mixed martial arts fights, riffing on bad Stallone movies, raking the fruits of the year. Dave's recapping hockey.
Good sports.
Ace is getting talking.
Good
shooting jerks with blasters.
Good
nasally podcasters.
Good
Ace and Shecky, let's do it. Good sports.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new week of hot sports talk here on Podcast One on Good Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, it's December. What's the poop, fella?
Oh, man, I love December.
Do you?
I do. Well, a couple things. I grew up without air conditioning, so I get depressed when it gets hot. So I just like the cold weather in general. And I don't like it when you talk to people and they go, what would you rather be, cold or hot? I don't like the ass wipes that go, oh, no, I hate being cold. If you're cold, then add another log to your fire. If you're cold, then put on some gloves or a beanie before you leave the house. If you're cold, put another comforter on top of your bed. There are things you can do about cold.
I hear you.
Uh-oh.
But, listen,
yes.
I grew up in Pittsburgh, PA. Have we ever talked about my roots? That's where I grew up. That's why for 18 years I was born in Pittsburgh.
You live in Pittsburgh now?
No. I was born there and
quickly moved away as an infant?
No. I went to school, the whole thing, up through 18 years. I was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? We were talking once. And you brought up Willie Stargell, and I thought, well, that's queer.
That's some pull by you. You remember when I brought up the name Willie Stargell?
I just remember it. It just stuck in my head like a weird nursery rhyme. So
boy,
I remember
you
thinking,
got a steel trap.
Yeah, I think that was so queer at the time. And then I remember I hit it out and I just smoked a fag and I was thinking how queer that was while I was smoking my fag. But anyway, it stuck in my head.
The fact that you can remember that makes me feel gay in my heart.
Now,
you know,
you feel gay?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, it makes your heart gay. It brings gayness to this time of season. So I thought, oh, God, how queer this is while I was smoking my fag. But I'm glad it brought gay times to you in your heart. And that he was, in fact, a Pittsburgh Pirate, right?
That's exactly right.
And
he was on the Pirates. Right.
That's how I knew that you were at least briefly associated with that part of our land.
Are you one of those people, like the photographic memory for things you've seen? You're one of those people that, like, you just never forget something, apparently, if you remember that small detail about my life. Either way, I'll say this about the cold. I, as a child, it never occurred to me that it was bad that it was snowy or frigid outside. But now I look back on that, though, and I wonder, Ace, how would you do? Do you think you'd be okay if, for whatever reason, you and your gang had to move to, I don't know, to Ottawa and live in the snow for the rest of your days?
I realize that we're all wired this way, and especially this way. Maybe as Americans, were wired this way much more than Vietnamese. Vietnamese wake up every day and they eat Vietnamese food, and then they have some Vietnamese food before they go to bed, and then they wake up the next morning and they look forward to a Vietnamese meal. Whereas if we eat Thai food one night, we need barbecue the next night, then we need Mexican food the next night, then we need Italian, and shame the devil, as you would say, if we ever had to eat Thai food two nights in a row or something of that nature. I mean, look at Thanksgiving, the greatest of all food-related holidays. I'm in my fridge the other night just kind of going through my fourth night of turkey and mashed potatoes. My kids and wife are done. I'm still trying to just sort of bite the bullet and finish the rest of the turkey off. The notion that it goes from the greatest meal of the year to sort of a chore 4 days later after you've eaten it 3 days in a row is an interesting look,
but
a glimpse
good for
into
you.
Our psyche.
I admire you for going 4 days in a row with it, and I do the same thing because I just it's the wastefulness of it.
Yes.
I'm not trying to be self-righteous, but it really is. I don't understand. Why are you eating that entire pie? Because like otherwise it's going to go away. What do you mean? It's going to have to go in the garbage if I don't eat the whole thing.
I have a very important food-related question for you, Shaq. Very pressing. Of course, most disagree, but I want to know where you're at. I am a purist in that I do not like passion fruit iced tea. I like regular iced tea, and I do not like goat cheese on my pizza. I like
mozzarella.
How am I
just now hearing about this?
Okay.
I've known you for quite some time.
Well, I didn't know about the old Pittsburgh
thing. We're too busy talking about Willie Stargell so much that you never even once mentioned your passion fruit iced tea.
I talked to Matt, the porcelain punisher, Fondelier, the other day. He was discouraged that he ordered quesadillas with chicken and avocado, and they were out of avocado. And I said, I like quesadillas as just cheese and tortilla as a traditional quesadilla. And then people say to me, don't you like chicken? And I go, I like chicken. I like barbecued chicken. Mm-hmm. I like roasted chicken. I like breaded chicken. I like all kinds of chicken, but it's not part of a quesadilla the same way that an enchilada is an enchilada. They have figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
Mexican scientists have labored in the lab for years to work out the exact right ratio that is a cheese enchilada. It's delectable. It's delightful. And the best part of when you go out for Mexican food is you get the cheese enchilada on one side, you get the chili relleno over here, and you get the beef taco over there.
Right.
But then people are like, well, put some beef on the enchilada. Put chicken. You want shrimp in the enchilada? It's like, it is no longer an enchilada.
Uh-huh.
I hope you're sitting down, Bald Brian. When I explain to them, it's like Caesar salad. Caesar salad is a Caesar salad. If you add chicken to the Caesar salad, it's sort of a Cobb Caesar salad now. He then replied, I always add chicken to my Caesar salad. I argued it's not a Caesar salad is a Caesar salad. We can't add chicken to fucking everything.
Listen, you know I agree with this, obviously, but this is awfully rich stuff coming from the man who'll put a pineapple on his pizza.
First off, how dare you? I have the ultimate argument with that. A, it's nummy. B, not that I need to go past nummy. It has Canadian bacon on it.
All right. So
okay,
what?
So... What I'm saying is you're acting like I said, oh, you know what I like on my pizza? I like Massengale douche and costume jewelry.
That's not at all what I'm saying.
No, that's exactly what you're saying. That's verbatim.
I guess so.
That's literally what you're saying.
You're the
to
one
me.
With the steel trap for a mind.
In
I guess
order
so.
To make a Hawaiian pizza, you must first add Canadian bacon, which everyone loves.
Okay.
Everybody loves the ham on it. So you've added ham. So, yes, you can take umbrage with the pineapple, but I'm still batting 500 because you've added ham to a pizza,
You're
which
right.
actually makes it better.
That's right. Bill Belichick has made some queer decisions along the way in terms of play calling. Doesn't mean he's altogether wrong. You're right about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to sign off. No, I agree with you. I don't like the number one example is Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper is a unique flavor. But it's beyond just like there's cola. At least there are three or four different brands of cola. Dr. Pepper is like Dr. Pepper is it. That there's nobody else that makes Dr. Pepper other than Dr. Pepper. And then they say, here's vanilla Dr. Pepper. Well, that's not Dr. Pepper anymore. Call Mrs. Whatever. I don't know.
I agree. I don't want to name drop, but I had a diet Dr. Pepper at Leno has a big fridge with the sliding window door and everything and all the soda pops in there. Just had the diet Dr. Pepper because the diet Dr. Pepper is the best of the diet drinks because it still tastes like Dr. Pepper.
Is that right?
The other stuff, I know cola's a flavor, but the diet cola just tastes like a bad version of cola. Dr. Pepper has unique flavor. And they can put that into the diet. And so your brain is kind of thinking you're drinking Dr. Pepper. Thank you.
All right. Well done. I think we've covered everything that needs to be said. And yet.
And how about all the hot sports talk?
Well, the hot sports talk is still to come later in the week, Ace. In the meantime, while we're talking about food, let's talk about what sits atop the food mountain for Dave Damashek in 2018. Everything that sits inside that butcher box that shows up at my door now every month. And I swoon and then I pass out and then I wake back up and realize this ain't a dream. This is reality. And it can be your reality, too. Because ButcherBox will deliver you healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef. Free-range organic chicken. If you want to, you can put it in a quesadilla. You might have to answer to Carol on that if you do. Heritage breed pork directly to your door. Like I say, on a monthly basis, all the products humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. And the taste is, I can attest, truly unbelievable. Each box comes with 9 to 11 pounds of meat. If you can't fathom what that's like, 24 individual servings, all I know is it is a mound of every kind of meat that you want. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., outside of Alaska and Hawaii, no commitment. You can cancel easily at any time. Special offer right now, though. Get on this for the holidays. New subscribers, $20 off and free bacon for life by going to ButcherBox.com and entering the code ADAM, A-D-A-M, at checkout. ButcherBox, take my word for it. And when you return from Cloud 9, you can thank me then. All right, that's it for today's Good Sports. We'll continue the hot sports talk tomorrow. For now, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek. Good
Sports! Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. You'll find that at adamcarolla.com. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, major events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com. We will see you this Friday for a very Mangria Christmas and silent auction benefit for Jenny from Roses and Cigarettes. Stay close for AP News.